Welcome to the Go Hack Something podcast, where education and technology meet. I'm your host, Will Bushy, author of Wired for Coding, and with me as always is Ross Wickman. Today we're going to be talking about a makerspace that I toured out in Cedar Falls, Iowa, about 10 days or so ago. It was very interesting to see the types of programming that they were doing for kids. And there's a lot of technology that they're bringing in as well. So we're going to talk about that today. So with that, how are you doing today, Ross?
I'm doing really good. I've had a busy couple of weeks. I spent the last 2 weeks out of the cloud working with an organization that I spent a few years ago with, and kind of doing some on-premise administration, getting back into code, doing some PowerShell administration of installing software remotely, customer support, which kind of leads into some of the things we've talked about recently, and getting more and more people, youngsters, more familiar with all sorts of different levels of technology. I kind of want to get to a point where I can help put myself out of a job. Some of this customer support stuff is insane, and you just kind of scratch your head. Like, how is some of this stuff still even questions? I know not everybody's fantastic at computers, but some of the really simple, simple solutions, no one even wants to try. They're afraid they're going to break something. So I think we got something here.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Actually, I was at a event here earlier today, and I was just talking to a friend of mine, and he works for Verizon, not in the stores, but in corporate. And we got to talking about funny stories, and one of the other people standing there said that her mom will run into computer problems, and she doesn't know how to fix them. So she tells her daughter, says, "Well, I'm just going to take my computer over to Verizon and have them fix it."
No. No.
So I would love to be with her mom when she walked in to see what the reaction was when she hands him her computer and says, "You know, this isn't working. Can you fix it?"
Like, we do phones. That's
too bad. Yeah. Well, so when you say off the cloud, do you mean more just not old school, but I mean like bare bones stuff? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, for the most part, like actual physical network infrastructure. So for the last year and a half, I've been doing strictly AWS cloud work. The only piece of hardware that I touch is my main system that gets me connected to the cloud. And these last 2 weeks, I've been on-premise with server racks and 30 physical servers in there and about 800 workstations and customers supporting them locally. So it's been a little change of pace from what I've been doing the last year. And I kind of don't miss it. That's for sure. I mean, we talk about touching and getting into hardware, when it comes to computer hardware and like swapping out hard drives or fixing printer problems, those things I put in my past, and now I get to work strictly with, hopefully we'll talk right about it a little bit more in the future, but like infrastructure as code and configuring cloud systems where they just kind of launch because you click a couple buttons instead of having to plug in a bunch of cords and making sure everything's hooked up right. Cloud's a completely different beast. So it was strange going back to that for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, and I like a lot of hardware, and obviously done a lot with electronics, but anytime I have to get into a computer, I always second guess why I'm doing it. Even though they're very similar, it just seems like that's something I don't enjoy doing. I had one of my computers, and it's just, I have a standing desk at the office, and so I just remote into my desktop machine so I can either stand or sit. And the machine that I use on the standing desk is literally a dummy terminal. The only thing I use it for is to connect to my other machine. It didn't boot the other day, and it said, "Hey, there's no disk in there." And I'm like, "Well, I'm pretty sure there's a disk in there." And I had to take the cover off, and sure enough, somehow the power cable to the hard drive just wasn't making a good connection. And I just, those are things that you just don't have to think about that much when you're dealing with a cloud environment.
No, not really at all. And if you do, somebody else is responsible for it. And I mean, I used to really enjoy doing that type of work, breaking into computer chassis, adding hard drives, adding memory, troubleshooting things, swapping motherboards, building my own computers. I loved that stuff. But it's kind of like when you're doing house chores that you could just as well pay somebody. All you really need to do is do it once, prove to yourself that you can do it, and then you basically have somebody else do it for the rest of the time. It's just not worth the headache anymore.
Yeah, for sure. Well, excellent. Well, we did launch our Hack Sioux Falls last week. I know I posted a few images online. We were talking about it before. We ended up with 20 kids that signed up, and each one of them, we had an Arduino, a handful of LEDs, and then I had a bunch of other little tiny things that we included as well, resistors and wires, and I 3D printed some little trays to put the components in. And then I built those 18650 cells that we can use to power the Arduino separately. So they had this nice little tote with all the components in it. And the first event, we did about 3 hours just to get them a little bit familiar with the Arduino platform, getting the software all set up. And out of the 20, we ended up with, I think, two laptops that didn't communicate correctly with the Arduino. So even there, we had a little bit of troubleshooting that we had to come up with. And then we did have some Macs and some Windows versions, so we had a little bit of variation there as well. But I was really surprised. I mean, the kids picked up very, very quickly on it. And we, they all took the boxes home with them so they can continue to play with it. And I heard from many parents. I mean, when I say many, I don't mean like one of them emailed me, but I had multiple parents send me messages saying, you know, hey, all day Sunday, that's all, you know, kid's name did was play around with that Arduino and do different, where I left them off was just multiple LEDs and being able to turn them on and off. And so they just sat and just played and tinkered and explored, which was just really cool to hear. And then this upcoming weekend, although right now they're calling for a apocalyptic ice and snow blizzard storm, so we'll see if this ends up happening. We're going to do our second event, our second weekend. And this one, we're going to introduce the LED strip. These are those WS2812B LEDs that you can change the colors on, which did mean over the last 7 days, I've been getting them put together because the ones I originally ordered were a meter long. They were ready to go, but that shipment never made it here from China. So I had the last minute order some reels of these LEDs from Amazon so that I could get them within a couple of days. Well, that meant I had to then cut them to size and put resistors in them and put connectors on them. So pretty much every single evening for the last 5 or 6 days, I've been putting them together, and I got the last of the shrink wrap put on here today. So we're all ready to go for Saturday. So hopefully the weather holds out, although I don't think it's going to.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get kicked off with that. So really interesting to just get in there and see what the kids are finding interesting, and look forward to kind of giving the updates here as we move through the 90 days.
Yeah, I look forward for the updates too. That all sounds really exciting. And I'm stoked that you got parents already reporting back just even the day after that they were still in it. Now, I'm not sure if that interest kept up with school and other weekday activities leading up to this coming weekend. Now, you didn't really give much of an assignment for the week except for just kind of play and explore. I mean, you had your own assignment of getting things scheduled and taken care of for the following week. But it'll be interesting to see and have you report back on what the kids learned and how much more comfortable they are with all of the pieces. Hopefully they bring most of them back, but with all of the pieces that you sent them home for the week.
Well, that's funny you mentioned that. I did actually take that into consideration, both frying out components, which isn't that uncommon, but then also just things that get lost throughout the 90 days. 90 days is just such a long period of time for anybody, even for myself, to try to keep track of something. So I do have extras of everything. The other thing that again, it surprised me, but you know, in retrospect, maybe I shouldn't have been that surprised, but I invited the parents to stick around and say, you know, you don't have to, you can go, you know, go drink coffee somewhere else, or you're more than welcome to stick around. I had a lot of parents that actually did stick around. Either they stuck around at the beginning and then left and came back early, or I had quite a few of them that stuck around for the entire event. And one of them emailed me on Sunday and said, hey, you got to tell me what I need to buy so that I can get my own Arduino so I can do it, you know, follow along with the kids, because they were finding it that interesting. So I was really proud that the parents did stick around, because like I said, in a lot of times and events that we've held in the past, sometimes the parents just aren't that engaged and they're much happier to just kind of drop the kids off and then come back. So I hope that holds true here as we move through the full event.
Yeah, I hope it does as well. And I'm going to lean forward and say that it probably will. I mean, at least for a good majority. And I think we're going to see the interest more and more as kids become more interested. Parents are, they're not being pressed or pressured to kind of drop the cell phones and drop the busy schedule and kind of give children a little bit more attention. But this is the type of thing that I'm interested in. And I feel it's a great way for parents to get engaged with their kids. It's great that you're hearing requests on, hey, how can I get one of these for myself? This seems pretty cool. I mean, because in their circles, their parent groups or their evenings with friends and stuff, that's going to spread in the adult community as well. And it's just going to help spread this even better.
Yeah. Well, I've for years, I've thought, how do we do like a child parent type activity? And, you know, maybe there is some truth in putting something like this together. Just be a one night a week for a month or something like that, where it can be a joint activity as opposed to just kids.
Right. Right. So what was the gender breakdown? I mean, you mentioned probably one for one, some of the parents hung around at least for a good amount of time, but what was the amount of boys to girls participating in this event?
Yeah, we've always struggled with just trying to get more girls involved, and mostly because of we don't promote them any different, but it's just something that boys do tend to be more involved in on the programming and the other electronics one that I ran in the past. So I'm always happy if we can get, you know, two or three girls that come to these events. So right now we had four at this event, so 4 out of 20, which I think was pretty good. And I'd like to continue to push that and try to get more girls involved. One thing that I want to do as we move forward, again, this is the first of what I hope to be many of these events, is to engage more on the craft side or the creativity side, where the microcontroller is an important piece and the electronic is important, but there's these other pieces too. You know, we can sew something. You know, there's a whole bunch of wearables type devices that you can get. And these microcontrollers are so small, they can easily be sewn into a little pouch within a shirt or a jacket. And I think that's going to help engage, you know, more diversity within the classes that we do, and get more girls to join and want to figure out ways to contribute. So anyway, we'll see how that goes moving forward.
Bring up a funny point. We just, you know, you can go to the mall and do a Build-A-Bear, and they try to upsell you and put a little voice or a little barking recording in the paw. So you click on the paw. I can just picture hacking stuffed animals or like with dolls with these electronics and Adrenos over time. You remember Toy Story? You got the doll head running around on an erector set. Yes. I can just picture that's what this is going to turn into. That'd be fantastic.
Oh, no, absolutely. And no, I'd love it. Well, and there are some things, like I did buy some microphones and some, they're just little little flash drive type holders that will work with the Arduino with a little speaker where you can record and play audio through these microcontrollers. So all of those are even possible with what I've got on hand. So if somebody wants to take off and do something like that, I think that'd be cool. And maybe there is one of the Hack Sioux Falls events where we go to something like Savers here in town, and they get to pick out a stuffed animal and then, like you said, mod it to do something interesting or unique.
Yeah, great flashing lights or as eyes or who knows what. That'd be... A lot of opportunity there.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, what I wanted to talk a little bit about today was my trip out to Cedar Falls, Iowa. This started as part of the Paul Singh Results Junkies Road Tour. If you remember, Ross, we talked a little bit about this, I think last week too, is just something that I was going to be doing. And Paul Singh goes around and in towns, meets with local entrepreneurs. He usually hangs out at the co-working space or entrepreneur space within the community. And he'll do a number of keynotes and meet with local businesses. And then he'll also sit down and talk with entrepreneurs that maybe have a business idea that they're looking at pitching or raising capital for. And so he invited me to come out and join him on last week on the Cedar Falls tour. So my son and I drove over on Sunday, and we came back Tuesday, well, through the blizzard, the last blizzard we had. So we spent a couple of days out there at, it's a place called Mill Race, which is a co-working and collaboration place.
Yeah, it sounds, I mean, I look forward to hearing more about that a little bit, and the makerspace itself. Now, meeting up with Paul, it is something we talked about last week, and I hope he gets to, I mean, it's nice that he's coming back through the Midwest and coming back through the area. I hope he gets an opportunity to come back to Sioux Falls here within due course of time and kind of catch up with everybody that he met when he was here. And that's when I originally knew anything about him. I mean, you kind of pushed him coming to town, or advertised or built up some hype about him coming to town. It was a very fun experience the week that he was here. I wish I kind of knew a little bit more about it or took it a little bit more serious while he was here. So I'm like to follow him. And if anybody's interested that listens, wants to kind of know what he's got going on, he's got a lot of stuff going on. And he puts out some real nice short blog posts when it comes down to startups and entrepreneurism. So we'll put those links in the show notes for more information on that. And maybe in a few episodes or half a year down the road, we'll have a little bit more information if he decides he's going to swing back this way.
Yeah, and one, I think he will. We talked a lot about that as well. I'm in the process of doing some fundraising to do a couple more events with Paul here in Sioux Falls. So likewise, if anybody's interested and wants to sponsor something like that, just shoot us a message. But this event was taking place at this co-working place. And like I said, it's called Mill Race, and it sat right on the river in downtown Cedar Falls. It was a newer building, newer build out, and it's got that kind of shops on the bottom. And then the second floor was where the co-working collaboration space is. And then it had apartments above that, condos, a really neat facility. They did a really nice job. I think he said it opened about a year ago, or it might be a little bit more than that. And the guy that ran it, Danny, got to talking to him. And so while Paul was doing Paul's thing, had a little bit of downtime, and Danny and I were talking, and we're just comparing Sioux Falls to Cedar Falls, other than they both having falls in the name. There's a lot of other similarities as well. And one thing led to another, and Danny had mentioned that he was also part of this makerspace that they had got off the ground about a year ago or a little bit more. And so we got talking a little bit on the details of how did they get that off the ground? What was the financing on that? How did they actually get the location figured out? How did they get membership worked out? And I just asked him, like, hey, we got a little bit of time. Could we even go see it? And he says, yeah, let's go. So three or four of us jumped in his car, and it was just down. I mean, it wasn't that far away. It was over in just kind of maybe 5 miles from where we were at. And so we went over, and this is now starting to get to be 5-6 o'clock in the evening. And so most of the people had already left. But we had an opportunity to go take, and we spent probably a good hour and a half in that makerspace. Now, just to put it into perspective, there's a lot of things that get called makerspaces. Like you'll see places that might have a little bit more what I would consider kind of crafting type things, where it's more hot glues and drill presses. But then and those are perfectly legitimate makerspaces. And sometimes there's 3D printers or a little bit of prototyping equipment. But this was what would be considered an industrial makerspace. And so it had all of your industrial equipment. So it had a full wood shop, things like table saws and planers and joiners, things that you could build cabinetry with. But then it had two metal shop areas too, where they had lathes, both kind of a vertical lathe, as well as your metal turning lathes, drill presses, and all kinds of welders, arc welders, TIG welders, oxyacetylene welders, everything pretty much. I mean, I couldn't even think of something that you would want in an industrial makerspace that they didn't have. I mean, it was pretty neat. I sent you the link. I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at the facility at all.
Yeah, I've been looking at it a little bit, and I looked at the pictures that you posted while you were down there that week, and I was really impressed. Like you said, the word makerspace gets thrown around quite a bit, and I always envisioned kind of the way you explained it. But then when I saw what you posted, and one picture sticks out really well to me in my mind, and it was a picture of the 911 phone, like the emergency phone. Like,
right.
It's an emergency phone, meaning like there's some real heavy-duty stuff here, and if you hurt yourself or somebody gets hurt, this is our address. Here's a phone that's going to work all the time. Call the emergency or the authorities or something if you're having an issue. Like that's set the new baseline for makerspace. And it's just poking around on what they have for equipment is, yeah, I mean, this would be a great, I mean, I'm sort of a geek, but I'm still also a handyman, but there's about 6 dozen sets of tools on here that I'll never have to myself. It'd be great to have a place to go to use some of these tools. Don't know that I'd ever need a TIG welder. However,
never say never.
Never say never. Yeah. You just never know. And I mean, the facility looks fantastic. I mean, it looks fairly well kept. I don't know the details on who like really manages, if it's member managed and they just kind of self-police the organization. Like, yeah. How does that work?
Well, so the way that it was interesting, because I spent a lot of time asking him those types of questions as well, because there has been a group here in Sioux Falls for probably about 3 years, maybe even a little more than that, that's been trying to figure out a way to get a makerspace up and running. And so there's always been these questions in our minds, like, well, how do you get one started? What's their process? How could we do the same thing? So I spent a lot of time talking to Danny and Aaron about this, and they actually got started with, I think it was a $25,000 grant, and then they had to essentially match that funding with local funds in order to get it going. So they really started with a relatively low investment. And then they got a tremendous amount of equipment donated over the years. They started as a club that would get together. He didn't say how frequent, but maybe once a week or once a month, they would get together. They would just kind of talk about things that they build. They would share tools. They would share ideas. And they always had this goal of, eventually we want to get to this point where we have a space that we can go to, a true maker space. And that went on for years before they finally got that first the first round of money, the investment to get this space going. And it's in an old John Deere building that's been renovated. And I don't know how many stories it was. It might've been four or five stories, and they were up on the second floor and they had only renovated the first couple of floors. So it was this really cool old industrial building that already existed. And what the way it works is the cost is relatively inexpensive. I want to say it was like $45 a month or $50 a month for an individual, and then $70 or $75 for a family. But it is all run by volunteers. So they have a volunteer board, and then they have volunteers that go and man it, not 24/7, but on certain specific hours. And then people that are members, anybody that's a member, can go use the space 24/7, but they had some rules about there had to be at least two people there in order to operate some of the equipment. And then they do have to clean up after themselves. And these are things that you always wonder too. It's like, well, are people going to do that? I mean, can you trust everybody to put stuff back when they're done and not be the typical slob? But he says they have not had any problems at all. Said everything's gone really well. They haven't had any safety problems. People have been very respectful of other people's projects and how they're doing things. So that wasn't an issue that they ran into at all.
Well, that's good. I'm guessing that has a little bit to do with the membership aspect of things and just being part of, like, contributing and being part of a community. I mean, when you're putting into it, I mean, if you're not going to take care of it, you're very well could risk making the memberships go up or having certain things go away. So it boils down to taking some ownership and having respect of the environment, respect of the property, and respect of the tools and everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. And the interesting thing too about the diversity of their tools, I mean, I mentioned more of the industrial side, but they also had three different 3D printers. One was handmade. It was an old printer that somebody, one of their members, had made years ago, back before you could buy a 3D printer from Amazon for $400. But it was really neat, just the way it was a kit that they had put together. They made a whole bunch of mods. And Danny said when they moved it into the new space, they had no idea how to plug it back in and get all the wiring set back up after they had not necessarily disassembled it, but had to take it apart a little bit for moving it. So they had to track down the guy that built it so he could come in and refigure out what the wiring was. But the other really big flagship tool that they had was a laser cutter. And that was just really neat. And he says that gets used a lot. But there's a lot of different, because of safety things around a laser cutter. So it had to be in its own room and had to have a special fire extinguisher. And then the fire marshal just had a lot of rules about how things got plugged in and how the power systems were set up on some of the equipment. So it had its own little special room. And it looked like that got used a lot. And it was a really nice setup that they had. They had a computer there so you could work on some designs and then upload them right straight into the laser cutter and let it do its thing.
So you bring up a good point then. I mean, you got all these great tools, you got all these great resources, and it's kind of, it's a community. It's self-policed and managed itself. Like, so who takes responsibility for sort of the regulatory things? I mean, I'm guessing they have somewhat of a board, or like the individuals who started it, like they're kind of the overall responsible parties while everybody else just kind of polices it. So, I mean, what do you think? I mean, you mentioned there's been a community here in Sioux Falls trying to get things started. Like, what's the next step to get something like this moving forward in our area? Because I know that there would be, I mean, there's a lot of people clamoring for it already. We know that, but no one's willing to kind of commit. Or is it that the people that are committing, like, this is going to take us a little bit of time, like it took Cedar Falls? Yeah. Cedar Falls.
Well, and I don't know all the answers to that, but I guess I've been thinking a lot about it since I got back. And I have also talked to some of those people that have been talking about building a makerspace or getting one off the ground here in Sioux Falls last week after I got back, because I was excited to tell them what I learned. And a couple of observations. For one, Sioux Falls isn't a big industrial place. You know, we don't have a lot of industrial companies. We don't have a lot of people that would even know what to do with a metal lathe. Retired people or even younger people, we just don't have that community. We don't have a lot of manufacturing jobs here. So I think that does contribute to it, because in Cedar Falls, they've got the John Deere factory, and I'm sure there's a bunch of other ones, but that's just such a dominant player there. And they've got all these, you know, older retired people that did machining for a living, and they can give back, and they want to. They want to come, and they want to show other members how to do something or how to use the tools. And of course, you've got a lot of businesses that have tools that maybe they aren't using anymore that could donate. And I don't know, I would say maybe half of the equipment that they had was donated to them from different businesses in town. And that's been a real struggle here with Sioux Falls. You know, another interesting thing is that in all reality, we do not have a lot of vacant office space in town in Sioux Falls. And then that's not true in the Cedar Falls area. They did have a lot of large industrial buildings that weren't being used anymore. So they were actually able to get, I don't remember exactly what he said, it was the first year or the first 6 months of no rent. And then he said their rent now is just super inexpensive. So it's just not even a contributing factor. And that's really tough here in Sioux Falls. That's one of the things the group did do here, is try to figure out where would we even hold something like this, because you need a pretty good size space. You know, it's not something, you know, honestly, when Danny was telling me about it, I was thinking, okay, yeah, you guys have got a garage somewhere where you've got two or three tools in it, but it isn't that at all. And that's kind of what I think that we would end up here in Sioux Falls.
Yeah, we got to start somewhere. And part of it, I mean, even if the interest is there, what we kind of, I think we run into here as well is, I mean, we're still not nearly as much like blue collar. Now, I don't know what the community is like down there, but it's a lot of office cubicle jobs, big business, banks around here. It's like, yeah, we have those manufacturing, we have those big, rather tractor automotive shops and things like that. But yeah, as you stated, space is kind of either at a premium or non-existent, but then also like just the community of people, the kind of the type of work that's going on in Sioux Falls, the interest for the people that we would really need to help back it really isn't there. It's at it's completely different, like genre, basically.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I mean, I know Brookings has a makerspace as well, and they've got Daktronics right there. And I think that helps feed some of that. And yeah, you know, I think we'll get there eventually. It's just, it's not something that's going to happen instantly or overnight. But the other cool thing that this industrial makerspace does is they do make a ton of outreaches to get the younger youth involved into some of those trades. And I don't know exactly how often they do these events, but it sounded like maybe every month they would have different events where they would come in and they would do woodworking type of projects or some metal work. And then they had kind of some educational type things. So they had, I don't know what it was. I think they had some pictures of it on their website too, but it was like this giant sandbox. And then it had a Microsoft Kinect mounted on the very top pointing down at the sand. And he said that they can kind of simulate, you know, they could build a structure out of the sand, and then they could simulate weather and water coming through it. And then they can use that Kinect in order to keep track of what it was and to create a digital signature of the damage that was taking place when you'd let the water run through it. And it was all self-contained system. And he said things like that they've built over the years that they've had in that they use as part of their education. So they can invite kids to come out or clubs to come out, and they can spend an afternoon and design something or build something. And the other thing that he commented is that one of the things they were surprised at too, when they started to bring more of the kids in, is even just simple things like hammering in a nail. You know, the kids didn't quite know what to do, or they'd never done it before. You know, what would happen if the nail bent, or, you know, what happens if you hit your finger? But these are all things that we need to be teaching more kids to do and just get them exposed. I know you've got, you know, a little bit younger kid maybe to be hammering in nails, but I mean, this isn't something that some kids are even taught today.
No, that's a very good point. I mean, just you talking about the Kinect, like my mind immediately went to like, oh, that's more my speed. You know, we're leaning more back towards the technology and things like that. But you're right. You're bringing it back around full circle is like, yeah, building tree houses and forts and scraping your knee and hitting your nail or hitting your thumb with the hammer trying to hit a nail. Like, yeah, those are things that stuff's not happening as much anymore. And it's kind of sad that we have to try to find a big maker space like this to help kind of get the attention on those things again. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Those are the types of things that are are really, really fun. I mean, the focus of hacking something doesn't have to have anything to do with electronics. It could be totally repurposing something, even a wooden bench you can be repurposing for something. So it's a great point.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they've been doing a lot of educational outreaches to the clubs, and they did this even before they had the makerspace up and running as well. But it was just real interesting to see a community like there. And just to put it into perspective, I think we figured that their metro area around Cedar Falls, which included, I think there's at least one other little kind of community over there, was about 150,000 people. So it was smaller than Sioux Falls, but it wasn't really small compared to Sioux Falls. It was relatively comparable.
So do they see the membership and the interest in the makerspace like still growing, or has it kind of peaked and plateaued? Like what's the future outlook look like?
Yep. So he said that they really aren't promoting it a lot right now. They've got enough members to sustain it. And right now it's a comfortable fit. They don't have, it's not super crowded. They've got enough equipment for people to not be bumping into each other. He said they haven't, it's mostly just been word of mouth, but they were happy with kind of where their numbers were at right now. And they haven't done anything further to kind of increase those numbers. He told me, but I don't remember what they were off the top of my head.
All right. Well, definitely have to keep an eye on it. I mean, it's great you're making those connections, and I'm sure you'll probably touch base with them again in the future. And it seems like, you know, maybe even in a future episode could be potential to have on as a guest, just to kind of talk more about his perspective and his view of like the types of activities, the types of things that are going on, projects going on in their space there.
Yeah. Well, Danny's very good around just what they've done and sharing what they've done. And I do want to bring him involved on both the makerspace side as we move forward, but also just on the co-working side, the co-working space that we were in, this Mill Race. I mean, he's also in charge of that. And they just did some really nice things. And I think we could learn a lot from what Cedar Falls is doing and what Sioux Falls is doing and what works in our, you know, kind of Midwest-ish communities, and figure out what types of programs and maybe even co-educate and co-teach some of them. So I think there's a lot of collaboration that we can do and a lot we can learn from what they're doing, and I'm sure vice versa.
Yeah, for sure. And I think this brings another important issue thing into focus, is the fact that like this, you weren't that far away from Sioux Falls, and I actually had absolutely no idea this type of thing was going on there. So just imagine like the closer areas to Sioux Falls, this type of thing is going on around us, how we can get engaged in it and start building a community for these types of activities. It's best that we start moving in that direction.
Yeah, well, I didn't even know where Cedar Falls was until Paul said, "Hey, come on to Cedar Falls." I had to look it up on the map. But you're right; it was about 4.5 hours, give or take. Of course, there was a blizzard coming back, so it took a little longer. 2 hours of whiteout conditions on Interstate 90. Loads of fun.
Wow.
But yeah, you know, you look at this and you say, "Well, you know, we're less than half a day drive." Not even half a day. You know, it's 4 hours. A big town, you know, you might have an hour commute, so a quarter of the way to your office. It's just simply not that far, and it's just interesting to see what they're doing. And I'd love to have them come check out Sioux Falls one of these times. But I didn't know what to expect when I first, you know, got into town. You know, you have no idea what's taking place, and I was very impressed with their co-working space, their entrepreneurial community, as well as their makerspace. I know we talked a lot about the makerspace, but you know, that literally was just about 2 hours of our 3-day journey out there in Cedar Falls.
It's amazing what's going on in different communities and the small little organizations and things that are going on.
Yeah. Well, a few things that I thought I'd just kind of leave as some takeaways for the audience. One thing that, and again, I don't even know if people know this happens, but at the first Saturday of every month, Home Depot does a workshop for kids. Did you know they did that?
I had no idea. I had no clue that they had anything like that. And I mean, like, why? Yeah, there's a Home Depot in Sioux Falls, there's a Lowe's in Sioux Falls, but why is that not advertised? Like, how was that? I feel like I should know that. How did you find out about that? Was it directly through the individuals, Danny, at the makerspace, or?
Oh no, I've known this for years. My kids, who are now teenagers, I used to take them when they were, you know, 5. Actually, even younger than that. They were pretty young when I started to take them. But the reason I even found out about it was I was literally at Home Depot one Saturday. And all of a sudden, there's a whole bunch of kids hammering in the lumber section. And I started asking questions, you know, what is going on here? Well, It's free. It's completely open to anybody. You can show up. I forget the hours on it, and it may vary by local area as well. But you show up, they give you one of the orange smocks. They write your name on it. You get to take that home with you. And then they have a project in a shrink-wrapped kit with everything in it, and they hand it to you. It's all pre-cut. And they say, here you go, you know, have fun. And usually the parents will help, and they've got some other people there to help as well. But the projects are all they're all wood, and they're pre-cut, pre-sanded, and they have, you know, the exact number of nails that you need, and they have the tools sitting out on these benches, and the kids can just put them together. And they usually will take about our kids, my kids, you know, 5 minutes to put together. But I did notice some of the kids might take 20 minutes to put them together. And then they would have a separate station with some paint, so if you did want to paint them. And these would be, and they were always, if there was a holiday coming up, they'd be themed. So if it was Mother's Day was coming up, they'd have something to do with Mother's Day that you could give, or Father's Day, or 4th of July. They always had something 4th of July related. But they would be little, you know, like a little car that you'd build, and you'd hammer on the wheels, or a couple of them were like picture frames that you could put together and then put a picture in as well. But it's completely free, and they'll just give you the kit and help you out if you need it. But it's a great way to get kids some really hands-on education around just building something simple. Now, these, again, not overly complicated projects, but they also are gearing them to, you know, 5 to, I don't know, maybe 12 years old.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just, as you're talking, I'm kind of looking it up right now. So they do kind of want, I'm guessing for a number standpoint, they kind of want you to pre-register in advance, but for the most part, it's...
I don't think that's necessary at all. I don't know why they had that on there. I noticed that as well when I was pulling the URL for the podcast. But no, you can just show up. I'm pretty sure they don't even keep track of any of that info.
Well, that's great news. I hope what listeners we do have take advantage of that. I wish my son, well, I don't want my son to grow up any faster than he is, but if he was 5, I would be all over that this weekend. So,
yeah, well, take him on down. You can just pretend like it's his project and do it yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with Mother's Day coming up. It is ideas taken care of.
Exactly. Free gift. Yeah. You know, another one, if you are in Sioux Falls, there's a place called The Pinning Place. Have you ever heard of that?
I have not.
Yeah, so Jean runs that, and there's great little facilities she has downtown, and it truly is a makerspace as well, but it's not an industrial makerspace. I don't know all the tools that she has, but I know she's got the standard things that you're going to need for just building and constructing something, mostly out of wood or plastic or fabric, you know, those types of things. She's not going to have anything with metal in there, but I know she's got some saws, both hand tools, as well as things like a table saw and a drill press. And she runs a whole bunch of different classes down there as well. And they're all listed on the website. But this is another way if you want to get engaged. And she does both things for adults, or primarily for adults, but also things that are going to be much more family friendly. And she and I, for the last year or so, have kind of been kicking around some ideas about wanting to maybe bring in a little bit more electronics and kind of younger family friendly type things, kind of like what I'm doing with the Hack Sioux Falls. But those would be more of like a 1 or 2 hour on the weekend. And she does, it's just super diverse. If you go to her website and take a look at all the different classes. But some of the things I know, one of the guys at the office, his wife went down for actually, I don't even know what it's even called. It's the crock pot thing with the pressure thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Instant pot. Instant
pot. There we go.
I don't know how I lived without one of those things, especially as a bachelor. Man, things are fantastic.
I don't know if they had them back then.
No, they knew? They didn't, but that's why, like, I don't know how I got by.
You don't know how you survived in general?
Yeah. I mean, the slow cooker, the crock pot worked well enough, but this thing is fantastic. It makes hard-boiled eggs in like 10 minutes. It's fantastic.
Isn't that how long it takes to make a hard-boiled egg?
Yeah, but then it takes like 30 minutes to crack them if the eggs aren't the right age and everything else. The shells come off in like 2 nice halves. It just peels so nicely. It's fantastic. But
Well, slightly off topic, but I know she ran some Instapot, or she does run some Instapot classes down there as well. And again, these are things where anybody can go, and they're really inexpensive to show up and to take some of these classes. But it does give you a great opportunity to get involved. And then the last one I'll mention, and I don't know if you know about Jams Art Supply downtown. Have you ever been in there?
I've heard about them. Yes, I haven't been in there, but I've heard of them. So.
So Jess is fantastic, and I've known Jess for a long time, and she has this used art supply store downtown, and she's very supportive of a lot of the programs that we do. So when we do our Girls Breaker Day, for example, she'll donate all kinds of craft supplies so that we can then have those girls build some interesting artwork or what they call essentially junk sculptures from the computer components. And she also has a great spot down there. And I know I just was talking to her a couple weeks ago, and she's talking about putting kind of a little bit of a maker station in one part of the store so people could come in and just build right then and there, so they don't have to, you know, go home and do it, or maybe they don't have all the equipment that they need to do it. So I think we got some really cool options in Sioux Falls for kids to get much more of that hands-on.
Yeah, these resources are very neat. So I know, since I learned something, hopefully our listeners learned something as well. Actually, also hopefully some of them already knew about some of this stuff. Looking back at the pinning place, for instance, like there's looking at these classes, we'll put links to all this in the show notes, but hand tools 101, some of them are theme related. So anywhere from pumpkin painting to popcorn balls, but like just hand tool basics and power tool basics. Like this is fantastic learning that these types of things are going on. Cause even I could get benefit out of some of this stuff. And now that I know it's here, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. And one more thing. I know we're primarily, we have Home Depot and Lowe's in town, and I don't know exactly on Lowe's, but I do believe they also have the same type of kids project day. And I'm pretty sure it's not the first Saturday. I remember somebody telling me something like it's the second Saturday. So you've got opportunities to maybe do two woodworking projects each month.
Oh, wow.
Do you anything else you want to add, Ross, or should we wrap it up?
No, I think that's it. We've got lots of show notes, lots of resources for our listeners to review in the 1 week between episodes. I think we should probably put an end to it right there.
Excellent. Well, good. Well, I'll make a shout out to the guys out in Cedar Falls as well that we talked a little bit about them, and we'll maybe invite them to a future podcast, and they can kind of give us an update as to how their makerspace is going as well. And I think they'd have some great resources themselves. So with that, thanks everyone for joining us today. If you've not left a review on Apple, we'd love it if you'd head over there and give us a big 5 stars. And as always, you can join the conversation on our Facebook page, which, by the way, I haven't seen anybody on our Facebook page yet.
Yeah, well, about that. We'll have to get out and do some marketing.
All right. Just go ahead and search for Go Hack Something, or you can find the link right on our website at gohacksomething.com. To subscribe to the podcast, just go ahead and search for Go Hack Something wherever you get your podcasts, or again, head over to gohacksomething.com, and all the links are right there on the website.
I was just going to make one note on that, Will. I mean, if you do subscribe to podcasts somewhere where we're not at, please message us. Let us know. We will get there as soon as possible. I think I've hit everything, but I could be missing something.
Excellent. Absolutely. Well, good. Well, thanks. With that, I'll thank everybody for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
See you, Will.